Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Garrett Clayton. Garrett has many film and TV credits, but he's best known for his roles in Hairspray Live, Teen Beach Movie and Teen Beach Movie 2, King Cobra, Don't Hang Up, and The Fosters. Garrett currently stars in God Looked Away with Al Pacino at the Pasadena Playhouse. Garrett, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And thank you to anyone who's listening.
So, when did you know you wanted to be an actor? How old were you?
I'm trying to think. It was weird. It was like a build-up of realizing, like, this is the thing I'm going to do. I started in commercial modeling when I was 13 in Chicago and Detroit. And my mom's friend was currently modeling, and my mom had done it for a minute when she was younger, and so they knew an agent that I went to who knew an agent in Chicago, and it was kind of the, I don't know if it's a typical story, but someone, like, the parent helps the kid, but, which, you know, you fully understand, and a lot of it was never pushed on me. It was always something I really wanted. I said, I want to try this. And she said, okay, if you get your grades up and you work hard, then I'll let you try it. I'll work the hours and I'll get the money so we can, you know, I'll give you a really fair shot at this. And I said, oh, great. She goes, but one thing, nothing will happen for 10 years.
Your mom said this?
This was the first thing she said to me. She goes, you're going to work really hard and it's going to be really long and you're probably not going to get a lot of things to start and it will take 10 years before it even starts.
That's brilliant.
And she goes, are you okay with that? And you know, as like a kid, I was, oh, okay, yeah, sure, that's fine. But now looking back, you know, I didn't even, Teen Beach Movie came out when I was 22, 23. And that was when it kind of clicked. Oh, it just started, you know? I mean, I knew I wanted to be an actor when I ended up, I got my first movie on accident when I was 15, and I started in, like, community theater doing these random weird shows, and I tried, my first play was Charlotte's Web, and I didn't know any lines, and I kind of treated it like, whose line is it anyway? Because I was such a big fan of the show, I thought I could get away with it. And people thought it was, I guess, when you're an uninhibited kid, and everybody else is following the script, and you are treating it like, whose line is it anyway? It is funny for people, but it wasn't appropriate. And I thought it was fun, but then I quit when acting when I was in high school because I wanted to try the swim team. Like, I played 7 or 8 sports growing up because the rule was if you don't like something, you have to try something else.
I like that rule.
Yeah, which I'm happy for it now, especially as an actor who has to do a bunch of different things, you know?
Yeah, you have access to a lot now.
Mm-hmm. Everything from boxing, horseback riding, football, karate, soccer, swim team, like, you know, you name it. And I think swimming was the last real team sport I ever played for a period of time. And I didn't get as much as I wanted out of it. And I realized how much I loved acting. So I crawled back to the drama club and the director begrudgingly took me back because when I first was doing it, I was flighty and didn't show up to rehearsals as much. And the more I committed, and I remember it was, I found out when they were doing Peter Pan, I really wanted to be Peter, and I went up and they were doing set building during the summer for Fame. And I was like, can I have a shot at Peter Pan? And she goes, you're going to have to work really hard because I doubt you're going to get it. She goes, you're not dedicated. You haven't shown any reason why we should have faith in you having this part. But if you can find some magical way to prove to me that you can handle it, then yeah, I'll give you a shot. He goes, and I said, okay, well, what steps can I take? And she goes, we're doing Fame. Audition for that and show your dedication. And then I'll see if you can audition. And so I did Fame and I was fully committed. I think it was Peter Pan that I realized, I guess. I showed up to the audition. I made an entire costume. I had blocking. And I went over to my aunt's house who helped me create blocking for it. And so in my head, there was like the two beds here and the window was over there. And I went full force with this and it was great. And I got the part the same day because I worked my butt off.
Well, and you had some good mentoring. I mean, you had a mom who's like, yes, I will support you in this and I'll do my part, but you have to do your part and you have to have a certain set of expectations that are realistic. And then you had that director who's like, yeah, no, prove it. Prove
yeah.
that you really...
She's like, why do you want it?
Yeah.
You have to earn it. And everyone in my life is always... I think that's even... A lot of the... It was Dove who said it to me. Because we were talking about work and our paths when we first started doing Hairspray together. And she stopped me and goes, you know, no one can ever tell you you didn't work hard for every single thing you got. Every single thing. Because we had talked about everything at that point. And so it was her who actually kind of... I was like, oh, I guess I... Yeah, nobody just called and said, does he want this thing? It was always... He can audition for it.
Yeah, well, and you had to work for it and you had to earn it. And that's a beautiful place to be because that's something you can really stand on. That's something you can really, that's a very firm thing to mm-hmm. be grounded in as a human. Never mind
oh, yeah.
as an actor. That's beautiful. Well, that's so cool. It sounds very organic. Like you mm-hmm. had inklings, but you tried a lot of other things, and it kept calling to you.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are. You're in high school. You get Peter Pan. Then what?
Oh, so...
I mean, that was back in... You were living in Detroit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not Los Angeles.
I grew up all over Detroit Metro, because I lived in, like, 5 states before I was 4. My parents split up, and then my dad lived in Redford off 5 Mile in Inkster, and my mom lived in Canton off of... Shelley and Ford Road. It's just completely different, even communities of people. Not to say any are better or worse, it's just different,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, yeah, so I finished Peter Pan, and it's so crazy just thinking back to all these things. I never really take the time to think about it. It's kind of fun.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah, and I realized how much I loved it, and then we were going to do Beauty and the Beast and Barefoot in the Park, and luckily the director, she really loved she loves doing one classic thing and then one modern thing
oh,
every
that's
year.
Great.
Yeah, so we've gotten to do dramas, and like I've found a love for comedy because of Barefoot in the Park, getting to be Paul. And really, you know, realizing, believing in the moments is where the comedy, you know, it's not playing the comedy comes from the reality.
Yes.
And so that was a big awakening in my acting as well. And I learned how to sing for Beauty and the Beast. And it was Beauty and the Beast that I originally was going to get into music theater. And I got into a program at Oakland University. And I went there for a year. And through that year, through this whole time, I've been traveling on Greyhounds back and forth with my mom to go to Chicago. I've done some random like guest spots, and I went to a casting call for Days of Our Lives that I booked, and I got to do this really cool movie with Ed Harris and Jennifer Connelly, and I mean, I got to do really cool random small things through this whole process and model for guests and do these highlight ads that were like international. And so I got to get a little small taste of things because of the film industry coming to Michigan and actually going to, through high school, bouncing back and forth with taking my homework on the Greyhounds and working, getting back on it, coming back home next day, go back to school. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So this is beautiful. So one of the questions I always have is how did you balance, you know, for the people that I talked to who were acting while they were still in school? Cause you graduated from high school. You did high school, right?
Oh yeah. I graduated and I was in university for a solid year.
Okay. So how did you balance acting and school? How did you do it?
Well, again, my mother comes into the story. She was a big influence in my life when it came to my acting. And I mean, it's, to me, it always breaks my heart a little bit when some people either reach out online or in person say, you know, thank you for saying, you know, believe in yourself and you can, if you want it, you'll find a way. But to those people who, after they say that, you know, tell us about parents that don't support them or, you know, family and friends saying it'll never happen. And like, if I believed any of those things, then I wouldn't be here.
Right.
You know, I'm 3,000 miles away from home. And I literally, like, I sold, we had a garage sale at my house. My mom and my stepdad were pulling furniture out of the house just to make sure I had 2 months of rent. Like, I sold everything.
That gives me chills, actual chills.
I moved here with, like, roommates that I had met at a barbecue because of a casting call at Days of Our Lives, like, with the girl, Taylor Spreitler, who is, she was on Melissa and Joey.
Okay, okay, right?
And,
okay.
And so she invited me to a barbecue where I had met these roommates, and they said they needed someone in like, 2 months, and I was like, well, then if I have an opportunity, I'll take it. Because I told them I didn't have a lot of money, and they were, you know, I negotiated to have, like, a minute to settle in, and then...
Yeah.
I think it was, like, $500 a month for the first moving here. And...
Which is a screaming deal in L.A.
Oh, yeah. But we were in Sherman Oaks, and it was like, a three-bedroom apartment, so it worked out. Like, the master was a little more expensive, and then the medium-sized room was that. It was like, just give me the smallest, cheapest thing. All I need is a bed and somewhere to put my clothes, and I don't really care.
Good enough.
Yeah. And...
So how old were you when you came out here then?
19.
19.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
1 year of college under your belt.
Mm-hmm. And I even told the director, Fred, the director of the music theater program I was in, I have an opportunity to go. I've been working for a long time, or trying to, and from one of the casting calls, that movie that I... Virginia that I mentioned... One of the executive producers was part of a management company out here. And it was a very Hollywood call. Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I saw your audition tape. And I go, okay. And he said, well, I'm one of the executive producers on Virginia, and I think, you know, you're pretty good. And if you keep your head on straight, you could have a bright future if you wanted to take a chance and move to Hollywood. And that was before Days of Our Lives.
Oh, my God.
And I said, okay. How do I go about that?
Yeah.
You know, like...
That's lovely to hear, but...
Like, I'm in a BFA for music theater. Like, this is a completely different path, sir.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, start off by watching all of the winning movies. The best feature film from the Oscars from the year they started.
Such good advice.
I know, and I've had, like, random, really, just really good influences, and I know that, and I'm very lucky, and so he goes, watch that. If you ever come out to L.A., give me an email, give me a call, and when I worked on the actual movie, because that was a casting call, it was, like, 1,500 people, and so when I went to go work on the movie...
Because you got it.
I found out it was between me and the kid who actually got the lead, and they liked me so much they gave me another part in it. And that's where I had the official meeting with him, and he said, that's when he was saying, if you ever come out to LA, give me a holler and I'll have you meet the team, and then we can see if there's some kind of working thing we can make happen here. And I said, yeah, well, yeah, if I ever get to go to LA. And then I kept taking any chance there was for an audition, a casting call, any of it. I didn't care. I took it.
That's so smart.
Yeah. And, well, there's just too many opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think people let either get in their head or they say, no, it's not going to happen, so they don't take the chance. But if you don't take it, then you're never going to find out.
Exactly. And here, they liked you so much, they found another role for you, not even the one you auditioned for.
Exactly.
So did this guy become your manager?
Yeah. And I told the director, I have a shot in L.A., and these people need a roommate, and... This guy I haven't talked to in a year said if I go there, they would at least take a meeting. And I'll just, if I can even take a meeting, I'll take a meeting. I don't care.
It's
something.
Huge.
It's
get that
something,
opportunity, yeah.
You know? And he said, well, you know, we all love and support you here. And if you ever want to come back, you always have a place. So,
that's,
you know,
so beautiful.
Go take the chance.
So you come out here, you're 19, you find roommates, you have a meeting.
Yeah, those are
out.
That's what I got. So I'm 19 and I have a meeting and I have roommates and bills. All I had was bills, and I knew two people.
Well, so that right there is like sort of this quintessential LA Hollywood experience. Like, mm-hmm. Here I am, now what?
It's very 42nd Street.
Isn't it, right?
Yeah.
So you're 19 and you don't get Teen Beach till you're what, 22, 23?
I booked it when I was in Puerto Rico when I turned 21, shooting Teen Beach movie.
So for all those people out there who are worried that if they don't start till they're 18 or 19 or 22, mm-hmm. like it's too late, got anything to say about that? Clearly it isn't too late at that point.
No, yeah. No. I mean, the only thing is you just have to start.
Yes.
I think that's the hardest part. Sometimes you just have to throw caution to the wind. If you don't, you just have to start. You just have to try. That's all this profession is trying. That's all people really want. I mean, the longer I've worked, the more interest. The past, 15 months of my life have been crazy, bouncing back and forth between crazy different projects. And the one thing that stays true is people want someone who shows up, is dedicated, adds something. It's not like you have to show up and you have like a list of things that you're going to add to the project. It's just bring yourself and bring good energy. People want to work with you because they want to have opinions and they want people that they're working with to challenge what they're doing and what they're thinking and, because it makes us all better unless there's questions, there's no discovery.
Oh God, I love all of that. That is so true in my experience. I mean, what else do you want to work with? That's exactly what you want to work with. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that, but it's a huge part of being successful. So how important was training for you? What would you say you've had in terms of training?
I've never technically stopped. Even leaving high school, I went to the BFA, and then when I left, I came out here, and so there was kind of this thing when I berated these managers into meeting with me, because I did, and I know that, and we joked about it. I'm not currently with them anymore, not for anything between us. It was just they were having things that they had to deal with, and a few clients were getting caught in the middle of people who were leaving and people who were staying. And then, we just had to, it was a mutually agreed upon, they said, we love you. And I said, I love you guys. And we just all had to separate.
Well, and the truth is actors change agents and managers sometimes. That's part of the deal sometimes.
So when I left and I came out here, you would think, you just have to like live your life. But when I met with the manager after I emailed him about 4 times and the last one, I said, if you don't want to meet, that's fine. But I'm very serious about what I'm doing and I'm going to find someone else to represent me if you won't. So
nice.
If I don't hear back from this email, I'm going to move forward without you.
Yeah.
And then I got a big ha 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 back and he said, are you free Wednesday? And I went and I met with all the managers there. But that was about 30 minutes after me and him sat in this big, it was very, again, 40 Second Street, where you show up and it's like this big building and the name is across the top and you're in Beverly Hills and you go to the top floor and you see the view and this giant, beautiful conference room that's all glass window walls. And he said, what is your goal? What's your plan? And I said, well, I want to be an actor. And he goes, but what kind of actor do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What you need to do is you need a 6-month plan, a year plan, a 5 and a 10 year plan. Ooh. Who do you want to be in 10 years? What do you want to accomplish in 6 years? Or what do you want to accomplish in 5 years? Like what's, the point when you're midway to where you need to get.
Yeah. And do you know you're on track?
Yeah. So I said, I don't know. I'm, I just barely turned 19 and I don't even, I'm like 3,000 miles away from home and I don't know. The last place I lived was my parents' house. So.
I'm a 19-year-old kid from Michigan. I'm here.
I'm like, I took this. So he goes, well, to start within the first 6 months, you need a job, a car, somewhere to live, which you've already done, acting classes. So once you have steady acting classes, you have some way to get to them, to do the things you need to do, some way to supplement your income so you can stay. Then come talk to me.
That's good.
And so I found a job the first day because I told myself I wasn't allowed to go home until I found a job.
Wow. What kind of job could I ask?
Oh, I was a waiter at a 24-hour restaurant for 2 years.
There you go. So everybody listening, mm-hmm. this is what it takes.
Seriously. I started waiting at IHOP when I was 16. 15.
Oh my gosh.
I got the signed letter from my parents in the school saying that if I did that, then I could. So, yeah, I started working when I was 15.
So you were experienced. Well, that's the thing. I mean, in LA especially, like, mm-hmm. you don't just walk in and say,
People want you to come in with some waiting experience.
Yes.
If you can say, I know how to wait on tables, they'll say, okay, all right, that's what we need.
Well, and that's it's a specific skill set. I mean, I worked in restaurants when I was in high school, cool. and you don't learn that just in a second.
No.
You
know?
No. There's a lot to know about it, it turns out. So,
For
people who are thinking about coming to LA, maybe after high school or whatever, and maybe paying the rent through, you know, being a waiter or something, maybe get some experience before you leave home.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
And that'll help. And there is a weird thing happening now, which I don't even know if... I didn't even know about it till a friend of mine just recently told me, because he was looking for waiting positions. And people are asking for headshots now?
For waiting positions? What?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
So, I don't even know how to approach that. Because I walked... When I got my job in LA, that was after me getting very frustrated. And I walked into this 24-hour coffee shop, restaurant, mix thing. And I said, do you need any more people to work here? Because I need a job and I don't have time to, like, mess around. I need to know if you're hiring or not. And I don't want to fill out another application if you're not hiring.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And she goes, okay, well, I think the owner's going to like you. Yeah, hold on. Just wait an hour. Can you wait an hour? And I was like, yeah, I don't have anything else to do.
I'm so impressed. I'm really impressed. Thanks.
So, yeah, I found a job the first day. I got a car in a week. And then I found... I got acting classes in the second week, and then a month later, I found myself an agent.
Yeah, baby. Well, so now how did you find the agent? You had the manager, kind of.
It was through a vocal coach that was at my program who, he had went to, when he was in school, he knew this guy who's an agent out here now. And I've also got, like, the play I'm doing now is through a coach. I'd done his workshops, and I've known the director for years, and they just needed someone who was, like, a guy that was my age and, like, type.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's through relationships.
It's a lot of things in this town, it's just cultivate good relationships. If you work really hard and you're really dedicated, I think people start, you know, they don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the training for me... Once I started going to, I initially went to Warner Laughlin for about 6 months, which I loved it there. It was just a very interesting, I thought their process was fascinating. Because in the program I was in, I was learning Alexander technique, and this one was different. And then wow. I was learning, and then I went to, I went to Leslie Kahn for about a year. I've studied with Catherine Carlin, who also goes to the Actors Studio and teaches there sometimes, and as well as studies there, because they're, you know, the Actors Studio is wonderful. And Bob Garrett as well, I've studied with, and he's, you know, he's worked with incredible people. I mean, anyone who knows Bob knows he's worked with really wonderful people, like Hugh Jackman, Drew Barrymore, Jessica Lange, like, you name it.
Wow.
And yeah, and even vocal coaches. I have three vocal coaches. I have three acting coaches because I think you can learn so many different things from different people. And
I totally agree. I mean, as someone who really values loyalty, like, I'm an extremely loyal person. At the same time, when it comes to coaches and teachers, like, everybody has something different to teach you. I think it's kind of crazy to just pigeonhole yourself with one person.
And you might. I don't know if people hear it often outside of the city which I'm sure you've heard it a bunch, where people say you need to learn what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And different techniques and different teachers and coaches have different skill sets and can teach you just different ways to approach material.
Yes.
I mean, even right now I've been studying for, cause I'm always simultaneously studying with different people. Cause I don't know if I'm a masochist or if I just want to be exhausted all the time.
You're ambitious.
Yeah. And his name's Gregory Berg, who simultaneously teaches at Yale part of the year. And so I've been trying to study the Yale technique. And there's just so... It's it's just fascinating the different ways you can approach material. I think people who, I mean, I can applaud someone who can just show up to set and, you know, fully flesh out a character without ever studying, but I can't. And I don't know a lot of people who would want to.
Most actors want training.
As well as different ways to approach things. I think some, mm-hmm. I mean, there's sometimes, I've gotten characters who, you know, were supposed to have been raised in, like a forest. And my, Catherine, who I mentioned earlier, she had a very fascinating way of approaching it. She said, I want you to find a dark space. Like, she goes, go sit in your closet. And, you know, once, because when you can turn off one of your senses, you know, they always say everything else is heightened, but yeah. Nobody tells you to actually go do it.
To experience it.
She goes, I want you to go in there and I want you to just start really feeling the texture of things and trying to see if there's anything you've never smelled before. I mean, whether it's good or bad, because it's a closet, right. So there's shoes, but, yeah. You know, and can you hear anything? Can you hear the neighbors? Can you hear people in the next room? And, you know, and how close and far away are they? And so when you're doing, when I am this character, now I can approach it from an animalistic point of view, because if you're surviving in the woods, you need to be able to know, you know, they're surviving off their instincts. And so I wouldn't have thought to do that.
That's so cool.
Most people would just say, you know, they would start writing down like I ams or I believe in or this is my history. But
Yeah. How
are you going to approach it physically?
Yeah.
How are you going to be comfortable in the body of that human being?
Yeah, which is what conveys so much of the character.
Yeah.
And it goes back into your brain and your heart, too. I mean, it goes mm-hmm. in every different direction. That's so cool. So, auditioning advice. At this point in your career, mm-hmm. you know, you're doing great.
Thank you.
You really are. It's so fun to see how well you're doing. I got a chance to see you at the Playhouse, you know, in God Looked Away, and it was exciting. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm crazy proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a joy. It's a joy to see, you know, good people doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of all the auditions you must have had to get to this point already in your career. Do you have some audition advice to share with people?
I think
hot tips, even. Anything.
I actually just tweeted at somebody, or no, I did a live stream and someone was asking for audition advice. And I always go back, and it's the one thing that keeps me sane. You can't, and I loved hearing this a while ago, was you can't go to book the job. You have to go to show your work.
Mm.
Because anything beyond your work has nothing to do with you. Your height, your weight, what you look like, your ethnicity, your background, like, all of that, just, it is what it is. And so you can bring a very fleshed out, well-rounded character, and you know everything about them, and you can, you know, you can live and breathe as them and tell this room full of people their, you know, this character's whole story that you made. But at the end of the day, people just, like, I read something and this guy next to me, metaphorically, is going to go in right after, and he'll read the same lines and it'll come across completely different.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, I've gotten many calls where they say, we love him. It's just not the direction of the character that we're looking to go in.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So anything beyond the work has nothing to do with you.
That's good. And it's really important for people to keep that in mind because, you know, facing what feels like rejection, which I would say isn't actually rejection.
And it feels so personal. I mean, there are circumstances where they say, I mean, I've heard friends say they've lost jobs on their hair color. They've literally called and said, oh, we're looking for a brunette. Like, well, then dye their hair.
Dye my hair. Seriously.
So, I mean, there are those moments that happen and you just have to say whatever. But Most of the time it's, you know, it is what it is. You just have to just prepare as well as you can and know that when you leave that room, you did everything you could, because that's what we all do. We walk in the room and we give it everything we have. And sometimes it's just not what they're looking for.
Yeah. And if it is, yay.
And if you do well in the room, they're going to know that you're good at your job regardless. Just because you're not right for that part doesn't mean you're not good. It just means you're not right for that part.
Well, and you've had experience with people being impressed by your work, the work that you were showing, and not booking you for that original role, but for something else, either later or in the same project, right?
Well, Teen Beach Movie is a prime example of that.
Really?
I read for Ross Lynch's character initially, and then they called me back and said, we think he'd be really good in the role of Tanner. Can he come back and read Tanner? But do what he did as Brady. I said, okay. So I went back and I did that, and then I ended up going through to the end and getting the part.
That's so cool. That's interesting.
And that's a prime example of you just have to show your work, and mm-hmm. sometimes it'll work in your favor, and other times it won't.
Well, and sometimes, too, even if it's not right for the project, you know, casting directors, they have memories like elephants. Mm-hmm. And if they like your work, they won't forget you.
And if you do well, and if you come in the room and you have an easy demeanor, they're going to read that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going in and freaking out, they're going to see that, you know, if you can't handle going into an audition space, how are you going to handle being, you know, crying in front of 60 people behind a camera while you're pretending to be alone in a room?
Like, for a dozen times in a row.
No.
While they get the right take and the right camera angle.
Yes.
Even though you did it perfectly the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is so fun. I love those stories. Well, let's talk about the Disney Channel, because we were just talking about Teen mm-hmm. Beach. What was it like to do work with the Disney Channel?
I'd always wanted to be on it when I was a kid. So for me, it was exciting. I finally got to be on that thing that I'd idolized growing up. And I started when I was, you know, in my early 20s.
Yeah, well, you're not alone. There's a lot of people in their 20s on the mm-hmm. channel.
Which I didn't even realize at the time. I kept thinking, like, they're never going to cast me. I'm 20. But it was great. It was fun. It was, I also know I got very lucky, because Teen Beach Movie, they flew us to Puerto Rico. We got to go literally, you know, film a movie on an island where people vacation. I got to live there for months.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and it was just such an extravagant production. And it was a wonderful, magical, you know, I got to risk everything moving to LA, and then I get to go to this, you know, it felt very old Hollywood, especially even shooting the movie, because everything being handmade, and the people, you know, Jeffrey being so established, and or just everything of it. I remember shooting, there's a song called Surf Crazy in the first movie, and it's my character's big number, and it's the first real musical number of the movie, and they wanted to make it really grand, so they had this big crane while they were going and shooting, and I remember being on the beach and just, like, getting to sing and have this, you know, really... Because you get really close with all the dancers on the movie when you're doing musicals, and getting to be surrounded by friends and getting to have this moment, getting to be on the channel that I idolized for years. It was very surreal. It felt very old Hollywood.
Well, it is. Those musical movies on the beach are so classic Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They're so fun, you know, seriously fun. And then to get to do a sequel is like, it must have been like going back to camp. I mean, I know that's what Descendants is like for Dove and those guys. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, here we are back again, you know, with people that you already have these amazing relationships with.
Completely.
So cool. So fun. Have you had any challenges? I mean, mm-hmm. when I hear your story, I hear like a lot of like amazing serendipities and things falling into place for you. But have there been any challenges for you?
Well, I think those moments came out of all of that, all of the struggle, because nobody wants to remember the year. I mean, there's been full years where I've been, because some things have clumped when they've come out at the same time, but I filmed them years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a movie called Don't Hang Up come out, and I filmed that 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
Before I filmed Don't Hang Up, not even a week. I finished filming Don't Hang Up, flew back on a plane at 1 a.m. London, got into LA the next morning took a nap and went to rehearsals for Teen Beach Movie 2.
Ooh.
So, a lot of those things, and mind you, when I was a waiter, working from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. every day, I was studying my lines while I was washing dishes or folding napkins and rolling silverware. And, you know, I had a few regulars who would became friends of mine. They would run lines with me when I'd get a break, and I would be eating in the back alleyway on my 10-minute break, like studying lines. And I think a lot of that, as well as not every job pays incredibly well, and you have to make that money last until you get the next one. And
yeah, people underestimate that. They think that everybody who does, you know, movies and TV just makes buckets and buckets of money, but that's really often not the case. And then whatever you do make, a lot of it goes right back out to your team into taxes.
Well, especially nowadays. Nowadays, the market is so vast that the money in it is all watered down.
Yep.
So 9 times out of 10, the things you're doing aren't going to be paying you a lot of money. It's the money that you're going to have to figure out how to make it last a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time, I know myself and 99% of my friends we're all hustling all the time, constantly. When I'm doing a job, I'm still sending in self-tapes and working on other auditions while I'm working on projects that are very time-consuming. I can be on set for 14 hours a day, on camera all day, and the 1 hour I get a lunch break, I'm working on an audition so I can go home, take another 2 hours to film the audition, let alone if they need a song or something.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll get to sleep for 4 hours. Maybe.
Every young actor I know, when they're filming on location and they're away from their home setup, they've got like some sort of, they've got some clever ways to set up an iPhone and, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's duct tape involved sometimes, and to get those self-tapes, because you don't stop doing that.
You don't stop anything. And that's the thing. So with the market being so vast, the money being watered down, you can be working your butt off and still feel sometimes like you're not getting as much of a reward. But mm-hmm. if you really love the work, and that's the thing, is when people tell me they want to be an actor, I'm like, you got to really love it. You got to really love what you're doing, because a lot of the time it's going to feel like you're working your butt off to get just centimeters ahead than you were. And not, you know, and there's not, it seems like there's a lot of reward in a lot of it, but there's not, because nobody's there with you for the other hundreds or thousands of auditions you've done, where people always tell you no.
Yeah.
And I mean, the longer you're working, the easier it gets, because you're like, well, somebody else said no. You know, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's struggle with it, with every aspect of what we're doing, whether it's being on set and people's egos, or being on set and, you know, they're fighting about a line of dialogue you have to say, and then everybody thinks you're aggressive when really other people are fighting about things. Like, there can be issues that people don't even think come up. You know, whether it's, I know some actresses, there's been arguments on set between producers because they want their eyeshadow to be a certain color. It's like,
I've seen it.
The things that can be issues, people in any other job would go, are you kidding me? Yeah. People fought about that thing.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a camera angle, a line, you know, somebody's attitude on set that day. Maybe somebody's having a bad day and they're taking it out on everybody, and then it halts production for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
Somebody's late to work, and then that pushes everything, and then they have to reorganize the camera shots, and then you're there 4 hours later still waiting to do the same thing, because it's...
Yeah.
It can be anything. And so that's why I always say you got to really love it. You got to be really patient.
Patience is key. Patience is huge. Without patience, you have no chance, no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about Hollywood itself? Like, have there been any surprises? So you land here, and I mean, everybody who comes here from somewhere else, which is almost everyone who's here that I know of. I mean, there aren't a lot of natives that I meet in the industry. Almost everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm from some other place. You know, mm-hmm. we're from Washington. We all have this idea of what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. And we're inevitably surprised. And sometimes the surprises are like good surprises, and sometimes they're not such good surprises. But have there been any surprises for you in terms of the whole sort of Hollywood experience?
I think I didn't know what kind of people I was going to meet when I moved here. And it surprised me how long it took to find a group of people I felt safe and I trusted.
Yeah.
I think that's something that they don't tell you when you move here. There's a lot of people who don't always have the best intentions, who don't always want the best for you. You know, they'll use you and whatever you have to get ahead. I've had people, you know, when I was moving apartments once and all of my things were stolen.
What?
Or another time I was moving and the roommates I had didn't pay rent. And I had paid my portion of the rent. And the landlord said if they didn't pay, then they were going to put an eviction on all of our records. And so I had to pay all of my money up front. And it was everything I had in my bank account.
Ugh.
And then I found out they hadn't paid for a couple months. And I just had to go back to the grind and get right back to work. And that was when I was a waiter. I hadn't, you know, any money I had saved, I was lucky to have. So, people can be very challenging here. I think you just have to be very meticulous and careful with who you let in your life and who you trust. Because it's very easy for people to want to get ahead and want to mislead when you first move out here.
Well, I think one of the things that a lot of people who come to LA share is they've got this dream and a lot of ambition. And then the question is, what kind of people are they? If they're good people, you know, they're going to have that drive them in good ways that don't harm other people. But if their character isn't so strong, they may have no real problem stepping on other people to get to where they're trying to go. And and that's, that's where you have to be really careful. It takes time to figure out who you can...
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's everyone I've spoken to here. Mm-hmm. It's taken everyone I know who's lived here for a lengthy period of time. Like, I think it'll be 7 years, maybe June 1st.
Gosh, we came here like a month apart. Do you realize
that's
that?
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, we came here August 1st, seven years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it just takes a long time to find people that you can really open up to and let care about you and you care about them.
Yeah.
To invest in people is a very, very big deal out here.
It is. It is. And once you find those people, you know, they're like gold.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. you really make your families out here.
Yeah.
And that's any group of friends I've ever gotten to, you know, get close to or anything like that. It's a very treasured thing in this city. When people find their group that they love and they trust, they don't let anybody or anything, people make their families out here.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree. That's been our experience too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's more important than trust and love and relationship? If you weren't an actor, mm-hmm. what do you think you might want to be doing instead?
I have always known if I wasn't going to be an actor, I would have either wanted to be a history teacher or go to culinary school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, I always figured if I couldn't be an actor that I could go learn how to teach stories.
Yeah, yeah. Make history come alive and be compelling.
Well, I had a history teacher once who said, because I asked her why she liked being a history teacher, and she said, well, I like stories and I like reading stories and I like telling stories. And that's all history is telling stories. And so I figured from that moment, I think I was a sophomore in high school. If I couldn't be an actor, then I would want to be a history teacher and then, like, you know, run a drama club after school hours.
That sounds like a good life.
Yeah. That and I love cooking. So if I got to go to culinary school, which I've even kind of wanted to do a little bit now, maybe part-time or something.
Oh, you could end up opening up a restaurant too. A lot of actors, you know, get to the point where they want to just be diversified.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be an actor and...
Oh, completely.
You know, yeah. Oh, that's neat. Any advice for young people who think they want this life or know they want this life?
If you think or know you want this life, especially like I said earlier, you just have to know in any career path you choose, there's never going to be an easy way to get whatever you want. Whether you're very successful from the beginning, the hard part is going to be learning all the ins and outs that people who've worked their way up know.
Eventually, you will have to catch up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you've worked your, if you're, you know, if your path is working your way up, you have, you know, patience. Remember to stay kind. Don't get jaded. Don't let other things ruin your day or ruin your life. And even for myself, I've had to remind in any moment, like if you get caught up in it for a minute, you're in the middle of shooting a movie or, you know, doing a really cool job and you think this one dramatic thing happening at work is like the end all be all. You have to have some kind of thing that helps you remember why you wanted to do it in the first place. That keeps you grounded. I have certain songs I listen to. I have people I call when I feel like I'm getting wrapped up in things that I shouldn't be. And so, yeah, patience, stay kind. Don't worry. People are going to say negative things and positive things about literally everything you do. You just have to trust in that if you're doing it for the right reasons and you're still exploring on how to grow and get better at what you do, then you'll be fine. It's just a matter of time. I had an acting coach say to me multiple times, you plug the pipe up with enough crap, something's bound to fall out the other end.
That's graphic.
I know. But I just always thought it was so funny. And then the image of it is funny, but the reality of it makes you kind of feel a little better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you can't argue with that. It's just true.
Yeah, like if you're after some kind of metaphorical dream and you're just, you know, whether it's going to acting classes or trying to produce something or writing something and trying to get it produced, trying to star in something, trying to find representation or agents or managers or dance lessons, voice lessons, whatever it is. You do enough of it long enough, you're going to learn something. You're going to progress. It's just a fact. And if people see how dedicated you are, people clock that. They do not forget that in this town. If you show up, you're on time, and you care, it makes a difference. And if you have a good demeanor, it really, that will stick with people.
I agree completely. You know, the diva thing is there aren't a lot of divas at the top, actually.
They don't, that's a thing of the past now.
Yeah.
Though where people used to think, you know, movie stars can do whatever they want. Nowadays, if people hear that you're hard to work with, they will not work with you.
Well, because everybody is replaceable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And life's too short to work with people who aren't a joy to work with, I think.
Well, isn't everyone just trying to do this? We're lucky we get to go have fun every day anyway. Yeah. If you're not having fun doing what you're doing, then go do something else. Mm-hmm. There's just too many career paths that if you don't like what you're doing, we don't have very much time to live our lives before we get old and we have to look back. Just enjoy your days doing what you like.
Yeah, and if you find that, you know, you change your mind or it's not what you thought it was going to be or whatever, you know, change gears. It's okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, there's no shame in that. I mean, I've been a cat with several different lives myself, and mm-hmm. it makes life interesting. You know, you don't have to only do one thing all of your life.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of crazy. I think when people work long enough on doing one thing, that if some point you don't really like it as much as you used to, or you're not getting what you did out of it, mm-hmm. or I guess you're not getting the joy that you got out of it, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're allowed to not like doing something anymore.
Exactly, because it should be about the joy.
Like, if you like playing video games, you know, I guess that's an easy comparison. Your favorite video game is blah, blah, blah. You played it for years. It's usually a pretty good way just to get your mind off things, but then you want to play a different game for a while. Who cares? It's your game.
Yep.
It's your life.
Yep.
It's your time. Spend it the way you want it.
I love that. That's wonderful advice. It is. It's really good advice. Anything else you want to share?
No. I mean, I don't want everyone... I just don't want everyone to take away that my serendipitous moments were just by chance. I was always seeking out the opportunities that I found. When I got Days of Our Lives casting call that promoted me to find the roommates that I mentioned earlier, that was because I went to the casting call that had, you know, 1,500 people. When I found that manager, it was because I drove 3 hours while I was doing a High School Musical 2 on stage. I'll never forget.
Oh my God, friend, you were doing High School Musical 2 on stage?
Yeah, I was Ryan. Funny enough. Which is the equivalent of Tanner, I think.
Yes.
And my friend Emily and I knew we had a show that night, and the casting call was 3 hours away. So we woke up extra early that day, drove 3 hours, and both of these casting calls had 1,500 people because they love to tell you how many people are in line at these casting calls. But all of these serendipitous moments were found and they happened because I sought out the opportunity. And I worked for it and I found a way to make it work. And that's, I think, the biggest thing I hope people take away, that nothing was ever handed. It was always sought out. I always looked for the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 9 times out of 10 all people need to do.
I agree. What is that? Luck favors the prepared, you know,
something
like that.
Luck is preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's 99% of my life.
Yeah.
Any good opportunity I've had, it's because I'm always studying. I'm always going to voice lessons, dance classes, acting, coaching, and workshops, and you name, like, anything I can get my hands on, I want to try, I want to do, I want to work on it. And I think there was another, if you, you know, point to your foot in your head, that was the thing, the same acting coach who said the pipe thing, she goes, this right here, this is your instrument. If you're a musician, this is what you play. She goes, so you need to know every facet of it.
From your foot to your head, for those of you who can't see what
yeah,
he's doing.
Yeah, so
right
I'm
now.
Pointing to my foot and my head. And that's what, you know, we talked about exploring your past and experiences you've had to feeling comfortable with your body, because, you know, you can embody the character in your mind, but how does that character physically move?
Yeah.
And that's why your mind and your body is it's an instrument.
It is literally an instrument.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. Where can people find you on social media?
Twitter and Instagram is GarrettClayton1 and Facebook is GarrettClaytonLove, which, to anyone listening, I did not make love at the end of that. Somebody made my my verified Facebook account, and it was discovered today that it's love at the end, not a one. So I'm not talking about loving myself, just in case anybody's listening.
Although
to me speak right now.
Is good.
There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. I don't want to be viewed as a narcissist.
So all of those accounts are verified. They have a little blue check in case you're trying to sift through all the fake
yes.
Garrett Clayton accounts. Garrett, what a joy it's been to talk to you today. Thank you.
This was fun.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to hollywoodparentsguide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.